want to invite all of the children who are here to come and make your way forward. If you'd like, you can bring a parent as well. And if you're worshiping with us from home, to move a little bit closer to your screens. We've got these fun little carpet circles to help us spread out a little bit. If we can, there's the mouse, the fox, the penguin.
I don't think we're going to have enough squares, but that's all right.
We're
just
good.
Come find a seat.
If they're all taken up, that's all right. Just come on up. It's wonderful to see all of you. What an exciting day. How many of you are starting at a new school or a new preschool or a new classroom this week? Yeah, lots of you starting in new places. Well, our Bible story is all about the Israelites, the people of God, who are going to live in a new place. And these guys who are on the front of the bulletin, did you see this picture? These are some of the priests, and they're carrying this thing called the Ark of the Covenant, which they felt like was a sign of God's presence. They're carrying the Ark in front of the people. So as they go into this new place, they'll know that God is with them. And so this morning, as you start school, and as our teachers start school, and our parents start a whole new season, we wanted to give you something to carry with you as a reminder that God is with you. So Pastor Maggie's going to help us with those.
Yeah, so we want to pray this morning for everybody who's starting a new school year. Raise your hand if you've already started. Raise your hand if you start maybe next week. Anybody start next week? Yeah, some people still haven't started yet. But going back to school invites lots of big feelings, right? And they may be different for different people. Some people may be excited, some people may be nervous, or scared, or curious, or frustrated. So many different emotions. And you might even feel all of them at the same time, right? But God always goes with us. So we're going to give you this morning, everybody's going to get one of these little tags to hang on your backpack or in your room or wherever as a reminder of God's love for you and God's presence with you and that God goes with you and before you. And it's also a reminder of how much we love you here at West End and that we love you and we care for you and we're praying for you. And the tags this year say, be loved, be kind, be you. And that's our prayer for each of you, to be loved, to be kind, and to be you. So we're going to pray together for our students, our teachers, administrators, parents, and everybody who has different roles to play going back to school. So let's pray together. God of fresh starts and new beginnings, we bring ourselves and our big feelings before you. Last year was different than what we expected, and it looks like this one will be too. In all the changes and all the uncertainty, God, you are our friend. You comfort us and hold us close and wipe our tears. We carry many things with us to school. Backpacks, blank pages, sharpened pencils, crayons, books, and more. We also carry in our hearts big feelings, unanswered questions, and hopeful expectations. There are endless possibilities of what this new year might bring, of what we might learn, who we might meet, and who we might become. God, you are our friend who is always with us through it all. Be with us as we ride the bus. Be with us as we walk. Be with us as we buckle seatbelts, zip up jackets, and tie shoes. However we get there and whatever we wear, bless this journey into something new. For the grown-ups going back to school, God who is with us, be with them too. We give thanks for teachers, administrators, leaders, parents, caregivers in our schools, our church, and on our college campuses. Comfort them, hold them close, bless their journeys. May they know your love and care and the support of this congregation. God, our friend, who's full of wonder, fill their hearts and bless their hands. Bless us all this year, God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So, everybody's going to get one of these.
Okay. Want me to hand something out?
Yep. Pastor Carol's going to help me hand some of these out.
Hand some out on this side. How about that? Mm-hmm. You have this one?
There you go.
Do you like one? There you go.
Oops.
And now, kids who are 5 and under, to go to children's church, you want to go with Pastor Brandon right there.
3 to 5.
Oh, sorry, 3 and up.
Three to five.
3 to 5. 3 to 5. I just work here. Oh. 3 to 5. Oh, you've already got one. Here we go.
All right, everybody get one.
Would you get one? Everybody got one who wants one?
We got one friend.
This is so wonderful and exciting to see all of you. Okay. That was really exciting to see all of those children. I think it's been a long time since we've had that many children up front. Praise God that we have the opportunity to see their faces and to pray with them and send them to school, this new adventure with something that reminds them that we love them and God is with them. I don't know about you, but over the past year and a half of navigating this pandemic, I've watched a lot of movies. I made a list for myself of movies that I've wanted to watch, and it's just been hard to get around to watching them. And I'm gradually checking them off my list. One of the movies I watched last summer was a movie called Harriet. It came out in 2019, and it's about the life of Harriet Tubman. Did anyone else see that movie? It's really good. Our Sunday school teacher from last summer, Dr. Jimmy Bird, said that it was one of the most accurate accounts of her life, which is what inspired me to watch it. And as I've thought about and reflected on that movie, there is one scene that comes back to me again and again. Harriet Tubman was leading her first group of enslaved people, most of them family members, out of slavery and into freedom in the North. It's understood that Harriet had a deep spiritual life. She was almost a mystic in the way that she prayed and experienced conversation with God. There were times when she would almost fall into a trance. And out of those prayers at times, she had a sense of what direction the people needed to go in order to reach freedom. And so there's a scene in the movie where they are escaping through the woods and they begin to hear the dogs barking and the horses running behind them. And Harriet falls on her knees and begins to sway and pray. And then she stands up and says, "We need to go this way. This is the way God wants us to go." So they reach the banks of a river that is wide and deep and flowing fast. And none of the people with her can swim. Harriet herself can't swim, but she says, "This is the way God is leading us to freedom. We're going to go this way." And some of her family members rebel and they start to walk away. And so she just starts walking. She steps into the river and starts walking. And you see the waters rise and rise and rise until the waters are finally up to her chin. And she is praying in desperation to God for deliverance. "God, I trust you. I know this is your way. God, help me. God, be with me." And as only Hollywood can do in these sorts of movies, the music swells and her prayers continue. And she takes one more step and the waters begin to recede down her body. And you know that she's made it past the deepest point. The scene takes place at night, and the skies are foggy, and it's misty, and you can't see what's in front of Harriet Tubman. She doesn't really know what is ahead, but she steps out into those waters in faith because she believes God is leading them down that path. I thought about that scene again as I read this story from the book of Joshua. And I thought about these guys. As I was sharing with the children, these are 4 of the priests, 4 Levites from the tribes of Israel. And I want to invite you this morning to put yourself in their shoes. Maybe the one on the furthest left, to put yourself in his shoes. Let me tell you a little bit of his story. The people of Israel, as you probably know, had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And then God raised up Moses as a leader of the people to lead them out of slavery to freedom. They crossed through the Red Sea, that wonderful miracle when God parted the waters of the Red Sea to lead them out of slavery and into the wilderness, the journey to the Promised Land. They make that journey to the Promised Land. They get on the border of the Promised Land and decide to send 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of Israel, over into the Promised Land to see what it was like, to see if they could conquer it. And the spies come back and they say, there is no way. The people are huge. The cities are fortified. They have armies. We can't occupy this land. Except for two people. Two of the spies come back and say, yes, we can. Because God is with us. Those two were Joshua and Caleb. They believed in God's promises. They had faith that their God could deliver them and fulfill God's promises to bring them into this land. But the people believed the other 10, and because of their fear, because of their failure to trust in God, the Israelites had to wander in the wilderness for another 40 years. God knew that they weren't ready yet. And so now in our story today, their 40 years of wandering are over. Moses has passed away, and now Joshua is the leader of the people. And he has been told by God that on the next day, Israel will cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And once again, they find themselves on the other side of a river, and it is at its highest because it overflows at harvest time. The waters are flowing fast. It is wide and deep. And yet God has said, I will be with you to cross over. God gave Joshua the instructions, tell the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant, this artifact that they believed contained, not completely contained, but held in some miraculous way the presence of God, to take that before all of the people into the river. But here's the thing. God says that the river's waters will not part until the soles of the feet of the priests are on the riverbed. So these priests, on the cover of our bulletin, had to step into the waters as they were deep and rushing. And all of them had to make their way to the middle of the river before the waters parted. Imagine the courage and the faith it took to take those steps and realizing the water's still rushing and to trust that God would fulfill God's promises. As I think about this story and this moment in this journey of the Israelites, I recognize some familiar themes. You know, a couple of months ago, I don't know about you, but I felt like we were sort of entering the Promised Land. We'd gotten to a point where we could come to worship without masks, without RSVPs. We were beginning to have dinner parties and social gatherings, and it felt like we were finally emerging from this year and a half of quarantine and pandemic, just on the edge of the Promised Land. And then lo and behold, this virus adapts and takes us back a step. And a couple of weeks ago, I felt like the wind had been taken out of my sails, and all of us on the staff were wrestling with, okay, we've got to rethink our plans for the fall, and schools were scrambling, and hospitals are scrambling. And I imagine the Israelites feeling like we're back in the wilderness. We don't know how long this journey in the wilderness is going to take. We're not yet in the Promised Land. So I identify with the Israelites in this story. And here they are on the edge of the Promised Land, and God has said, I will make a way for you. I am making a way for you. Will you trust me? God says. And so as the people of God, we're invited to step out in faith, to be willing to put our feet in the waters, though we don't know what the future holds. Though we don't know what the promised land looks like, though we don't know how long it will take, what we do know is that God is with us and God goes before us. And that is enough. It wasn't enough for the Israelites the first time around. They saw all that was in the, they're too big, too many armies, we can't do that. They trusted in their own strength and abilities. And so they had to continue wandering and wandering until their trust and faith in God was at a point where they were ready. So the question for us is, are we at a place where we really trust God to lead us into God's future? Though we can't see it, though we don't know exactly what the church is going to look like as we finally emerge from this time of pandemic, though we don't know what new needs are going to arise in our city, are we willing to step out in faith and trust that God goes with us? I was thinking about some conversations we've had on the staff. I shared with you a few weeks ago that during these weeks and months, we've been having more and more of our neighbors who are unhoused and struggling with mental illness coming to the church and asking for help. And it is in some ways overwhelming, and we don't know exactly what we're supposed to do. And yet there is something emerging that God is doing among us. Pastor Stacy and some others are having conversations about maybe we need a little hospitality area in the lower level of our building where people can come and get a cool drink of water and a snack and rest for a bit and have some resources available. We're not ready to start that yet, certainly not right now with the virus in its state. But that's a step into the waters. Who knows where God might lead that kind of ministry? But I'm grateful that we have people in our congregation who are willing to step out in faith, even before seeing the full vision, because they believe God is with us and God will make a way for us to share and be good neighbors and share Christ's love. Maybe you have a situation in your own life, a new school, a new job, a lot of uncertainty in your future, and you don't know if you've got the courage to step out and take the next right step. Hear the words of Joshua this morning. Take the ark and put it out before the people. And keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the covenant. And take the next step. And trust that God will handle the rest. Thanks be to God.